Support for the morning show comes from Carthage College, welcoming approximately 150 full-time transfer students each year. Eligible Gateway graduates can receive guaranteed admission to Carthage to complete their bachelor's degrees. Transfer to a more personalized education in 4 easy steps. More information about admissions and competitive scholarships for transfers is available at carthage.edu/admissions/transfer. And we welcome you to the Wednesday Morning Show on WGTD. I'm Gregory Berg. I could not be more excited about today's conversation because we are going to be talking about dreams and hopes and dreams fulfilled in a very exciting way here at Gateway Technical College with a program called the Gateway Promise. The Gateway Promise offers a Gateway Technical College education, essentially tuition-free and fee-free to deserving students who qualify. And it is a program that has already made an exciting difference in the lives of some young people. And that promise is extended into the future in some very, very exciting ways, thanks to the generosity of a number of donors who make the Gateway Promise program possible. We're going to be talking about it today, not only in the abstract, but also in the concrete, because we have a Gateway Promise recipient with us in the studio. We're also going to be talking with 2 coordinators of the program, and we will be talking with Jennifer Charpentier, who is the executive director of the Gateway Foundation. And it is under the auspices of the Gateway Foundation that the Gateway Promise program is offered to the community. We have 2 coordinators of the Gateway Promise program with us as well, Ken Riley and Sabrina Morgan. And the aforementioned recipient of the Gateway Promise is with us as well, Laura Vaya, who has just recently graduated, I believe, from Gateway, from our dental assistantship program. So we have 4 people with us to help tell this rich and important story. So Jennifer Charpentier and Ken Riley, Sabrina Morgan and Laura Vaya, we welcome all of you to the morning show.
Thank you.
Good to have all of you here. This is so exciting. Jennifer, how long have you headed up the Gateway Foundation?
I've been with the foundation for 8 years.
Wow. And at that point in time, was the Gateway Promise program even on the drawing board?
No. It actually began in 2016, and what part of it began was talking with the community about this opportunity to close the skills gap and fuel the talent pipeline locally by helping students who met certain economic and academic criteria who direct enroll from high school to the college. And by offering that, we are helping students to launch their careers and into family-supporting jobs. So in 2016, we announced that we were beginning the endowment, and we had some very generous first investors, so Fisk Johnson and the SC Johnson Company, Canal Manufacturing, CABA, the Kenosha Area Business Alliance, and Follett Bookstores all played a really key role in terms of providing lead gifts. And allowed us to announce that we were embarking on this campaign to help close the final dollars that a student would need in order to come to Gateway and succeed and come tuition-free. So the foundation's endowment, the income from it, for the promise, is really closing those final dollars in case a student needs that final amount to ensure the promise. And so many of our students are their first dollars in are through financial aid and state and federal aid. But for some families, there's still going to be a small gap, and the student qualifies in all the other ways. And so we're making sure that we can fulfill that promise, really, over the next 6 semesters of the time that the student is here, or up to 6 semesters. Some of the students, of course, are graduating sooner, but so really it's making to ensure that promise is happening. And of course, we know we had this fantastic news in March, No, it was late April, early April, that we had had also additional gifts from the Tarnowski estate and from the Copper family to really go over our $3 million goal and to make sure that this promise can be done in perpetuity.
Wow. And that's so exciting in and of itself. Not
it
just
is.
That it exists now, but it goes on from here.
Right.
And of course, this folds so beautifully into the overall mission of the Gateway Foundation. Mm-hmm. And of course, the Gateway Foundation does a lot of good even beyond this specific program.
Yes, we are very, you know, our purpose is really to support our students and to support the college. And so, you know, we're part of connecting people with the college and through the foundation to really ensure that everyone in our community has the skills they need and employers have the qualified workforce that they need to succeed and really to help our community thrive.
Do you have at least a rough number of how many students have received funds of students like Laura through the Gateway Promise program?
So we've provided direct aid to 40 students.
And that's just the beginning.
Right, it is. It's just the beginning.
We have two Gateway employees with us who are both coordinators of the Gateway Promise program, Sabrina Morgan and Ken Riley. I'd like to hear from each of you what your responsibilities are as a coordinator in this program. What sorts of duties and responsibilities do you have as coordinators?
Yeah, I can start first with that. My duties as a coordinator is case management. That's one of the priority things that we need to do. And when I'm talking about case management, we want to make sure that the student have everything in and taken care of so they can start college on a fresh start. And then for an example, that can be making sure they get all their documents in, financial aid documents, making sure they have all their academic documents in, making sure they're registered for the upcoming term, making sure that they have their books that they need. And one of the things that I enjoy doing is following up with the student weekly to making sure that they are taken care of, making sure if they need anything else that I can help them with, if it's either academic or personal. My job to make sure that they're completely satisfied, making sure they're stress-free, barrier-free, so they can focus on school.
Wow. Which is a huge responsibility. I mean, for instance, how many students are you doing that for instance, at the current time?
We started our first cohort in the graduating year of 2017. And then in 2017, that cohort was 165 students. The graduating class of 2018 was our second cohort, and that was 150 students. So my caseload is over 300 students.
Wow. Sabrina, what would you like to add to that in terms of what it means to be a coordinator within the Gateway Promise program?
Well, Ken and I share very similar responsibilities with the students. So Ken was the coordinator from the beginning. And as Jennifer shared, with the shared funding and the students who are involved now, I was recently added in February. So we will be working with different cohorts of students. So I am happy to start working with my students in the fall of 2019. So case management, doing a lot of follow-up, and that relationship building is key just to make sure that they are in the door, staying here and graduating to make sure they're successful in their career.
Which is what it's all about.
So one of the things I think is also important for many folks may not realize, particularly about Gateway, is how many of our students are first-generation college students. Mm-hmm. So there's not already like a knowledge within their family. There may be some people who went to college, but the whole thing may be completely new. People may not know how to access all the fabulous resources that are here at the college that are available for all of our students. And so one of the key things I think that our coordinators are doing are helping our students successfully navigate their college experience. Another key part is that this person is, of course, also a resource for our students when they are hitting road bumps they don't know how to navigate. And so I think another key part of the Promise program, of course, is that it's a cohort group. So the students in this group get to know each other. They have shared experiences, and so they can also develop those relationships for peer support as well that is also critical for all of our students' success.
Can our coordinators explain a little bit about how that sense of bond between the students of a given cohort is achieved? What kinds of things do these students do together that gives them that sense of being in this together?
I want to start from the beginning of the process. So we know they're getting ready to graduate, right? So the process starts in high school. So what you want to do is you want to connect with them in high school, the ones that's getting ready to come to Gateway. You want to follow up with them then. So the process starts while they're in high school. Start the relationship in high school. So once that relationship starts in high school, you'll be able to continue that relationship when it's time for our kickoff, which starts in the summer, and we also have the Summer Bridge Program. So I'm going to touch on the kickoff a little bit. The kickoff is when the students come to Gateway. They'll be able to get their fall schedule. Keep in mind, this is in the summertime. They'll be able to receive their fall schedule. They'll be able to meet with their advisors of their program. They get to meet the deans of the campus. They'll be able to get their ID. They'll be able to register for selective workshops. They get to meet with student life. They get to meet with the coordinators, which is Sabrina and I. So we'd be happy to introduce ourselves and continue our relationship with those students. And then we get them prepped from the Summer Bridge. So when the Summer Bridge is also in the summer, at that time, they'll be able to visit all of our campuses, Kenosha, Racine, Elkhorn. And we also have a day where they get to visit all of the centers. We call that the tour of centers. Then at the end, which I'm very excited for, the students get to come together and create a presentation on everything that they learned throughout the Summer Bridge. They get to interact with the other students. At that time, they'll be able to become themselves, kind of let loose a little bit. And this year, what we're going to do to engage the students is going to have a small award ceremony. So we're looking forward to that one for our class of 2019.
Wow, very good. So, Jennifer, was this folded into the program right from the start, or did you and the other organizers realize at some point this would be a good thing to add into the mix, or right from the start did you know that this would be an important component?
The cohort?
Right.
And the experiences, absolutely. So there's a cross-functional team here at the college representing academics, student financial aid, student support, the enrollment component, and of course the provost, all are part of this, and marketing and the foundation are all part of this team that talks about what do we need to do to ensure student success. And so a key component of that from the beginning was planning for a cohort model and for what do students need when they start their first day of class, and what do we need to make sure they get before they get here. So both Sabrina and Ken are talking about those relationships, how important that is, and that the so all of that was embedded in the experience. And another key component of that is that we know the more students engage on campus, the more likely they are to graduate. And so there were a whole bunch of pieces in terms of the requirements of the program and also making sure what happens during the bridge, particularly the bridge, because that's a little bit longer period of time, that those were embedded into the experience. All of these pieces that we know are more likely to ensure student success.
Very good. I want to bring in our recipient, Laura Avaya, and I eventually am going to ask you a little bit more about your background, but I want to hear from you about what we've just been talking about, this matter of before you even started at Gateway, that Gateway is already, in a sense, trying to create the framework within which you can succeed. What do you remember about your Gateway Promise experience before you ever even started classes here, these kind of earlier experiences that we've been talking about just now? And did they make a difference, do you think?
Yes, they did. I originally first met Sabrina. I was in high school at Tremper High School, so I had met her there. I had a case manager who kind of told me the options, and she told me, I want you to meet with Sabrina, and they have this foundation for students. So that's how I met her. She kind of started me off with the whole process of the application of what I needed, what it was about, and we did. I always met with her weekly. She kind of helped me do start from finish from the FAFSA, the application, and then from there, I ended up meeting with Ken. He kind of helped me get into college, you know, do all the financial aid, all the documents that I needed, and it was a lot. I didn't know how much it would take just to get accepted into a college until they were willing to talk to me about it. And the more I had their support, the more I knew that it will get easier, and maybe I will be able to graduate. And yeah, that's how it all kind of started.
So that makes a difference. So Sabrina, in what capacity were you working with Laura at that point? Because if I remember correctly from when you first talked with us, you weren't yet a coordinator with the Gateway Promise program.
Correct. So previously, I've actually been with the college for the past 7 years. So my previous role was a new student specialist. So I help with the recruitment, and we are placed inside of the high schools to serve as that liaison between Gateway and the high school. So Tremper was one of my high schools, and yes, I met with her to help her through the full process, just to promoting the Promise program, as well as navigating the admission steps, and then connecting her with Ken to actually start the program.
What are your memories of Laura and your first encounters with her at Tremper High School?
My first encounter, she was a little shy at first, but I like to bring out people. I said, I know you can talk. But she was a little hesitant because it was such a new experience, and she didn't really know which direction she wanted to go in. And like she mentioned, she didn't know if this was something that was for her, that she can come to school and to actually graduate, thinking that maybe school was not attainable. But just consistently working with her and the case managers at Tremper was really valuable for her. And here we see her as a graduate at Gateway Technical College within the Promise program. So it was just truly amazing working with her.
So Laura, did you seek out Sabrina, or did Sabrina, in a sense, come finding you? I mean, who found each other? How did you first connect?
I think it was my case manager. We were talking about college, and she had told me, well, they're doing this foundation for the Promise program. I want you to meet with Sabrina. And I was like, okay. And I did the application with her, and that's how we met, through the case manager. And yeah.
And what does that term case manager mean? Sabrina, can you explain what that means?
So a case manager in the high school means that students with accommodations or need assistance navigating the high school experience. So they work closely with a set amount of students. So case manager, and then she also had an academic counselor as well.
So you've had some important people on your team, and that's part of why you're sitting here today as a Gateway success.
Yes.
For those of you just joining us, this edition of The Morning Show is devoted to something called the Gateway Promise. And this is a program in which it becomes possible for people who probably otherwise could not go to Gateway, or for whom it might be a real financial struggle to go to Gateway, are able to, because of a special sort of additional financial assistance above and beyond standard financial aid, which in a sense closes the gap and makes it possible for even more people to experience Gateway and enjoy all of the benefits that come from graduating with a degree from Gateway Technical College. With us in the studios today, Jennifer Charpentier, who is the executive director of the Gateway Foundation, which operates this Gateway Promise program. Two of its coordinators are with us, Sabrina Morgan and Ken Riley, and one of the fortunate and deserving recipients of the Gateway Promise program is with us as well, Laura Vaya. It's great to have all of you here. Jennifer, could you say a word about the specific sorts of young people? And I suppose, I don't know, maybe this is limited to young people. Mm-hmm. I mean, of Laura's age, for instance. Mm-hmm. But the kind of people who, at least in general, are eligible for these special funds from the Gateway Promise program?
Sure. I think it's really important for people to also understand that the foundation is a partner in this. It's really the college who's administering the whole program. We're drawing upon the academic and student success experience of the college to make this happen. The foundation, is part of that funding and helping to connect the community with this fantastic opportunity. The in terms of the types of students, we need students who are need to be graduating from high school on time. They need to be either a resident of the district or they need to be attending an area high school. So the students need to be attending either Racine, Walworth, or Kenosha County high schools. They need to have a 2.0 or greater GPA, and they need to have initially tested on the ACT a 16 or greater, or they may need to retest. So there's some academic components to it, and making sure the student is college ready. And then there's also the financial aid component, where a student needs to complete the free federal aid application. And you can hear from Sabrina and Ken that walking, anyone who's tried to complete that before, it's daunting. So, and it's critical. So that's part of what a student needs. Their family needs to have a certain economic capacity. There are families whose students are a part of this. They do not have a lot of economic capacity to be able to go to college. And so this is a really critical piece in terms of helping to transform lives.
Right. And it's already done that, obviously, very, very, very clearly. Laura Valle, I want to hear a little bit more about your own story. First of all, were you born and raised right here in Kenosha?
Yes. My whole life I was actually raised in Wisconsin. I ended up graduating in Tremper High School. And then from there, I didn't really know what I wanted to do. I had an older brother that had graduated from Parkside. So he kind of had told me, start small. Start something within a year and see if that's for you. If it is, you could always go back and pursue, your dream. And I was like, okay, not a bad idea. So then when I had met with Sabrina, I didn't really know what I wanted to do. I think one of my choices was criminal justice or dentistry, and I wasn't sure. But the more I looked into it, the more we did research together, I thought that maybe dentistry was the field for me, and it was. I ended up graduating from the dental assistant program last year, and it was a lot. If it wasn't for Ken and Sabrina, pushing me throughout the whole thing, meeting with me weekly, I don't think I would have been able to do it, because it is stressful just even being in college, just getting everything ready. And I had an amazing experience with them. Also, the advisor, every time I needed help, I knew I could count on them. Really, all my instructors, they met with us. Even they kind of did like that personal bond. So let's say you were struggling because of a situation at home, they would still meet with you, try to push you to graduate. And I think the whole thing was amazing. I would do it all over again. And now that I am actually assisting in the work field, I do work for a community dental place at KCHC. And it's going to be a year in August that I've been working there, and I love it. Mm. I've been talking to the dentists and the hygienists that I work for, and I am going to go back. So this was kind of like a start for me, and yep, I will be going back and to pursue my dental hygienist career.
Great job.
Very cool.
So you are on your way.
Yeah.
Very good. Sabrina Morgan, when a young person like Laura meets with you and they don't know what they want to do, that is what they want to do after high school, typically what is that process like by which you help them answer that question? I mean, typically what is that process like, and what do you remember about specifically working with Laura on that really important question?
So it's twofold. So as a new student specialist when in the high school working with students who are undecided, We try to show them all of our programs to see what would be beneficial to them, walking them through. I like to give a lot of homework assignments, as she knows. So for her to go out and talk to some people in the professions, it's great to decide what you don't want to do so that you can get closer to what you do want to do. And making sure that it's not all about the money, right? But it's about that passion and something that you would want to do every day and just inculcate that. And that's what she really decided upon. But here at Gateway, we also have career counselors. So if she was really undecided about which direction, we would schedule an appointment with a career counselor so they can work with her in that capacity.
Hmm. So, Laura, when you started thinking seriously about this possibility of working in a dental practice as maybe a hygienist or assistant or whatever, what was it about that appealed to you? Why did it seem like it might be something you would enjoy doing and be good at?
'Cause I've always liked working with people, but like Sabrina said, I was always shy, and I don't know, I was a really quiet person, but I have actually come from a low income family. So then when I was talking to my brother, he was telling me, like, what would you really like to do? And my answer was, well, give back to my community. Hmm. And he asked, okay, well, since you are going to go to dentistry and stuff like that, maybe once you're done, you can work for a community dental place. And that's exactly what I did. When I was going to clinicals, my instructor actually put me at where I work at now, so KCHC, and it's a community dental office. And then from there, I got hired after I was done with college.
So it was like you did an internship there, and they must have liked what they saw. So explain to our listeners who aren't familiar with it what this place is like and what it offers.
When I was a kid, I actually was going to this dental place. So it's a really nice dental place, you know. It takes state insurance and all that. It helps you in any way to make payments and stuff. And I used to go there for everything. We also have a medical site, not just dental. And really, it just helps our community in Kenosha, you know, provide care with costs that are reasonable.
Gotcha. So what is the work that you have been doing there? I mean, since they hired you, what has your position been there?
I'm a dental assistant, so I get to work with the dentist, you know, with different procedures and stuff like that. I get to work with the patients, so I'm usually the one that brings them back, you know, comforts them with anything, with if it's a hard procedure or a simple one. I'm really kind of the comforter. I work one-on-one with a dentist, and that's how we kind of make a team together. And yeah.
Wow. And I suppose you remember being on the other side of that exchange.
Yeah.
You've been the little kid in the chair, or sometimes not so little kid in the chair, but you've probably received some comfort along the way, so you know what it's like, how important it is.
Yeah. Yeah. And usually, I remember when I was a kid, nobody likes going to the dentist. It's really something, you know, terrifying. And I get questions all the time. And, you know, our main job is just really to comfort, not just working for the dentist. And yeah.
Right. And I know that sometimes the dental assistant also plays an important role in answering questions.
Yes.
I mean, like explaining what's going to happen next and why it has to happen and so on.
Yep. And our job, we really, you know, we do the basics, from comforting the patient by and also taking x-rays, you know, doing all that sort of stuff. So we get a mix of everything. And yeah, I really love it.
Hmm. I keep watching Ken Riley as you're talking, because Ken's got this look on his face that I'm pretty sure is pleasure and pride. I mean,
yes.
What is it like for you to listen to someone like Laura Valla talking about all of this and what she's doing?
Just a dream come true. Like I said, I watch them when they first start school, wondering, like, how I'm going to get this done. Just the care and the nurture that you give, not only to Laura, but all the promise students, just to see them grow, just to see the passion that they have in their program of choice. And now just to sit here right now and to see that she made it, that's my reward. So that brings a lot of joy to me.
For those of you just joining us, we're talking about the Gateway Promise program on today's morning show. We have with us Jennifer Charpentier, who is the executive director of the Gateway Foundation, which has really made all of this possible. That is the Gateway Promise program. Two of the coordinators, Ken Riley and Sabrina Morgan. And we have Laura Valla with us, who is one of the fortunate recipients of the funding of the Gateway Promise program. Jennifer, you've made passing reference to the fact that some really major gifts have really been an indispensable part of all this.
Right.
Tell us a little bit about your initial efforts to secure those kind of gifts, and in a sense what your sales pitch was, or what you were sharing about this proposed Gateway Promise program that seems to have struck a nerve with some people in the community.
Sure. So really, it's a team of people who have been securing those gifts. And of course, the leader of that team is our president, Brian Albrecht. And really having a vision for how the college can help transform the community and students' lives. And also really solve some challenges in terms of the skills gap and the talent pipeline that we know are challenges for local businesses. And as a result of all that, you know, a key component of it is investing in education for a group of students who might not have considered college, not been able to consider college. And you can hear from Laura, this is her first step. You know, for many students, it may be completing their Gateway technical diploma or their associate's degree, and they're going to go pursue their career directly. For other students, it's going to be enrolling in one of our many four-year articulation four-year partners. So this is their first step in what they want to accomplish next. So thinking about investing in education and the criticalness of transforming, we have a need. We have a really important economic development opportunity by investing in these students now.
And from what you've described, I have a feeling this has made a gigantic difference in terms of also, well, not just whether somebody even attempts to go to Gateway, but if they're able to finish.
Right. Yes. Right. So the retention rates are very high with this group. It's 89%. So we can see what a college-ready student who is supported as they navigate the college, both from the academic side, where they're fantastic instructors, to the student support side, that with that support and their hard work and their passion and their dedication and the support of their families, all those pieces are really critical for them succeeding and taking this next step in their lives. Mm. So it's, you know, it really ultimately is a team effort.
Right. I'd love to hear more from the coordinators about the work that you do once a student like Laura begins at Gateway. So this is beyond that initial phase where they've filled out all the forms and so on. But once they are at Gateway, once they are in a program, it is your responsibility, I'm pretty sure, is not over, that you are also charged with doing all that you can to make sure that they are able to complete the gauntlet and graduate. Typically, what are some of the most significant, maybe common challenges that can make completion difficult that you can help students with?
One of them is the financial barrier. Keep in mind that that's going to always exist with the group that we're working with. One of the things that I did differently this year is I started a work-study program for Promise students. So I challenged myself to even help students work on campus. Keep in mind, if they stay on campus, they're more likely to stay engaged, they're more likely to get good grades, and they are more likely to graduate. So I wanted to start that. The weekly case management starts weekly. You want to follow up with the students weekly, even just to say hello, check in on how they're doing, because things can change by the day. So we try to stay engaged with the students weekly. And after we meet with the students weekly, interact with them, here comes midterm grade check. By then, you already know how the student is doing. So the midterm grade check is just a gauge to see where they are at academically, and then we have conversations about that. And once after the midterm grade check is over, we want to start back again on renewing our financial aid. So the process never stops. It's an ongoing process. What you want to do is make sure you keep in contact with the students on a weekly basis. Not only be their coordinator, but also be their friend. You know, you want to have someone that they can listen to. Sometimes you don't have to talk all the time. Sometimes you might want to just listen. Be an ear for them. Be a guide. Be an advocate for them. Be a mentor. And whatever you need to do to make sure that they're successful, that's what you want to do.
You've really touched on something significant, and I would love for Sabrina to jump in on this as well. The fact that your role, I'm guessing, probably pivots in terms of what your role primarily is, that at some points you are cheerleader, and at some point you have to be something more than that.
Correct.
And I'm sure for each student, that mix or that proportion is a little bit different. There are certain students who really need maybe a heavier hand of guidance, and for others, it's more about encouragement. How different does this vary from student to student in terms of what you do?
I'm relatively newer, but just seeing Ken in action, just making sure that he or that we stay on top of the students to see exactly what they need and the time and place and how we should treat. And each student is going to be different, and each person has a different circumstance or a different story. So just being able to be there for them and making sure that we are, yes, both encouraging, but also making sure they're focused academically, making sure they're meeting all of the needs of the college so that they're able to navigate through. And also maybe connecting out with their family as well, because we know that each person has a different circumstance. And many of them are supporting their families, like Ken stated, and that's why he started the work-study program. A lot of them need to work outside of taking courses, so we want to make sure that they have that balance as well. It's a shocker sometimes for these students because they are first-generation students, but coming from the high school experience versus the college experience, sometimes that can be daunting, and we want to make sure that we're helping them to navigate that and to be successful.
Ken, what kind of a challenge is it to find the right mix, the right recipe for a given student in terms of what you need to be doing for them?
I've been at Gateway almost 8 years, and I've been doing this type of work for the entire time I've been here. In the beginning, it was challenging, but when I found out the Promise program was coming to Gateway, I was sold, because that's what I've been doing. That's the experience I already have. That's my background. I have training in those types of areas, so that's what I live for. I was given a gift, and I'm thankful for the gift that I've been given. And I guarantee I can tell you all 300 students, I know them by name, I know them by face, and I know something very unique about every single one of them. So I'm thankful for that.
Laura, tell us what kind of a difference people like Ken and Sabrina and others at Gateway have made in terms of helping you stay the course through what I'm sure were some challenging times. What would be some of the challenges that you faced, and what kind of difference did this support make for you?
Some of the challenges I did face, I did come across, would be in different areas that I knew was my struggle. So, like, I would be really good at some classes, and then in just one class, I would have trouble. And I would always have to work harder, but every time I kind of had like a downfall, or I'm like, I don't think I'll be able to pass this class or something, I would talk to Ken, and he would tell me, okay, well, you're struggling here. Let's kind of make a goal and see what you could do better to actually kind of pass this class. And I'm like, okay. So then we would sit down and we would kind of just do like a goal weekly and see, okay, you're struggling here. What can you change to get a better grade next time? Or what could you do to, you know, achieve a higher grade or something? And one of our conversations was staying at Gateway. You know, if I had extra time, I would go to the library, do my homework there, not just go home. I would focus, I would study, I would be in a quiet place where I knew there was no distractions, and I would kind of just stay at Gateway and finish my homework there rather than at home.
I think that's a fabulous idea.
Yeah.
I even at Carthage, where I teach, which is, you know, a very different school, but I often tell our commuting students, and we have a lot of them, the very same thing, that it is so tempting when you get done with a class to just walk out to the parking lot, get in your car, and drive home. And it just sort of takes you out of student mode in some ways, and ends up kind of splitting your energies and attention in different directions. And for as much as possible, stay put on campus and remain a student, and you'll be happier in the end. And they don't all take my advice, but some of them do. But it sounds like that was a really important difference for you.
And he would also, you know, talk to my instructor to see, like, oh, okay, where can we actually help her? Because she's struggling here. And I feel like all of the teamwork. So I feel like every time I would talk to Ken, he would try talking to my instructor. My instructor would talk to me. So it was kind of like all a teamwork to finish.
So was Mr. Riley ever a nag? And were you ever like were you ever sorry to see him coming down the hall, or did he always have a pretty nice way of doing this?
No, I would actually get really excited every time I would see him, or we would get to chit chat, even if it was for a couple minutes, because I got to tell him where I was at. I got to tell him, you know, about my day, how I was feeling, and he was a friend, but also, you know, a coordinator for me. Every time I struggled with something, he would try helping me. So, no, every time I did see him, I would get happy. And, yeah.
Excellent. I have a feeling that one of the people that is probably especially proud of you has to be your brother.
Yeah.
Who has in some way been a big inspiration to you.
Yeah. He actually graduated with business management with his bachelor's. So he's been my guide. He's been pushing me from the start. Because in the start, I didn't know what I wanted to do. I didn't even know if college was for me. But, you know, we come from a low-income family, and he kind of told me, well, you know, realistically, nowadays, we need to go to college to have a stable job. You know, and I was like, okay. And he kind of put me into the realization, I need to go to be better for myself, better for my family. And to be a role model for my nieces. I have two younger nieces. They're, you know, one's a junior, one's a senior, and they look up to me. They see that I graduated, so, you know, they're on their way to making college happen too. My sister, she's a year older than me, and once I finished, she knew that she could do it too. So now she's at Gateway, about to graduate for medical assistant.
Oh, fantastic. That's just great.
I'm sure there's a very proud mom there as well.
I'm sure. A lot to be proud of. So, Laura, you are going to now resume your studies. Is that right?
Yes. My goal is to do my prereqs at Gateway and finish all my pre-classes that I need, and then from there transfer to MATC. To become a dental hygienist.
And remind our listeners exactly what that means. What does a dental hygienist do? What sort of new things will be part of your life if when you graduate to that level?
Dental hygienist is a person that does your cleaning. So it varies from a regular cleaning to a really deep cleaning. You know, they take x-rays as well too, but you just work by yourself, not as much as with a dentist. You're on your own. You're working by yourself with your own patients. You're kind of like a producer. And yeah, and pretty much what I do, right now I'm a dental assistant, so I get to work with the dentist closely, and I take x-rays and stuff. And I talked to the hygienist, and they told me, I think you'll be a really good bilingual dental hygienist because we don't have one. And I'm always translating and stuff for them. So they told me we need one. So continue your education. And yeah, they take x-rays as well. So my job won't really change as much. I would just need to learn how to do the cleanings and stuff.
Right. Well, that's a whole nother facet of the service that you're going to provide to the community. That's absolutely great. And I feel like I can't think of a lovelier presence in a dental office than, I mean, I'm sure you are exactly the sort of breath of fresh air and sunshine that most people really desperately need when they walk into the dentist's office. So that has to make you feel good that you're making such a difference.
Yep. I love to. Sometimes patients, you know, they're nervous, so they tend to, you know, talk to you about their life too. So you're, while, you know, you're waiting for them to get anesthetized, you're just chit-chatting to them and how actually to make them feel comfortable in the dental office.
Wow. Well, I think it's just great that you are in a place where you can use so many of your natural gifts in such a exciting way. So Jennifer, to finish out, let's talk about how long this Gateway Promise program can go on. I mean, you have received some spectacularly generous gifts.
We have.
And yet I suppose that work is not over.
So the Promise program can continue in perpetuity. You know, it can continue as long as there is a need in the community. And
so you've reached that
point. We have reached that happy point where we now get to watch the results. We already have the first two, you know, there's two classes that have sets of students who have graduated, and there'll be more. And so seeing we get to tell many more stories and offer it to many more graduating high school students and their families.
Fantastic. So in a sense, you are not looking for more funds or more donors?
Of course we're going to look for more funds. Yes, because there's always opportunities at the college for the foundation to help close the gap, whether it's student scholarships or student emergency funds or other really exciting initiatives that are going on at the college that we will get to partner with in the future.
Very good. So if people want more information about the Gateway Foundation and specifically the Gateway Promise program that we have been talking about today, what is the best way for them to secure more information?
They are welcome to reach out to me at any time. The foundation does have a webpage on the college's website, so that's gtc.edu/foundation. You can call me at my office. It's 262-564-2866, and I'm also delighted to answer your email, and that's charpentierj@gtc.edu.
Very good. Well, what a happy day this has been on the morning show to hear such a stirring success story tied up with this Gateway Promise program and the hard work that goes on behind the scenes to make all of this possible. So we want to thank Jennifer Charpentier, who is Executive Director of the Gateway Foundation, under whose auspices the Gateway Promise program operates, Ken Riley and Sabrina Morgan, who are two hardworking coordinators within the Gateway Promise program and who have figured very significantly in the success of our fourth guest and our most important guest today, Laura Valle, a recent Gateway graduate as a dental assistant and a recipient of the Gateway Promise program, and headed for even bigger and even better things in her bright future. I'm so glad that all four of you could be part of the morning show today. This has been a really stirring experience to hear this experience in such detail. And thank you for being part of the morning show, and best wishes to all of you.
Thank you.
I'm Gregory Berg. Tomorrow on The Morning Show, the co-hosts of a popular podcast called Pantsuit Politics, Sarah Stewart Holland and Beth Silvers, one of them is a Democrat, the other is a Republican, but somehow they have found a way to converse cordially about their political differences. And if anything, talking about politics has drawn them closer together rather than splitting them farther apart from each other. They have co-written a really interesting book called I Think You're Wrong, But I'm Listening, A Guide to Grace-Filled Political Conversations. That's on tomorrow's morning show. On Friday, you'll hear the conversation that I recorded with a software designer by the name of Anna P. Murray. And we have a conversation about a number of things, but in particular about the curious lack of women in the whole field of computer science. The numbers are getting a little bit better than they once were, but they are still not anywhere near where they should be. And we will explore some of that on Friday's Morning Show. The Morning Show airs every weekday morning between 8 and 9 o'clock. The program is archived at WGTD.org and available as a podcast 7 days a week via Apple Podcast, Google Podcast, or Spotify. Support for The Morning Show comes from Carthage College, welcoming approximately 150 full-time transfer students each year. Eligible Gateway graduates can receive guaranteed admission to Carthage to complete their bachelor's degrees. Transfer to more personalized education in 4 easy steps. Info for admissions and competitive scholarships